Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to Newcastle Fast FM. And alhamdulillah, it's the show from darkness to light with myself, Richard Coupland. And I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining in. Inshallah, like I always say, please do share this out on your social media platforms and leave any comments as we go along. Any questions you may have about the topic that we're going to be talking about. And today I want to talk about something which is something that is really a passion of mine, and it is the topic of seeking knowledge, the topic of the virtue of seeking knowledge, the topic of how to seek knowledge. As you mentioned last week, inshallah, we're going to be starting a new series, a 13-week series called Step by Step, going through the basics of belief, the basics of the Shahada, the basics of what do we believe about prophets and messengers, the basics about what do we believe about the hereafter. A really good course that inshallah everybody's going to benefit from. Those that are new to the religion, those that are new Muslims, those that are converts, they'll benefit. And those that are born Muslim, and they'll also benefit inshallah from the series. So that's going to be starting next week inshallah. The first week is all about setting the foundations. We're going to be talking about Islam. Why do we believe in Islam? Why do you believe in Allah? Why do you believe that there's a creator of the universe? And it's going to be beneficial, inshallah. But this week, what I really wanted to give you guys was some tips, some advice to help you when seeking knowledge. Many of us will attend different lessons, will attend different classes, but we haven't really looked into some tips and some beneficial ways that are going to help us seek knowledge. So I put together some short tips, some short points, 7 points, inshallah, that we can all take away and that we can all benefit from, inshallah, on how can we increase ourselves in seeking knowledge. Now, we know as Muslims that seeking knowledge in Islam is something that's hugely important. As Muslims, you can't be people that say that, you know, alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim, but don't really know much about the religion or don't really know about how to practice the religion. We're not people who follow Islam blindly. You know, we have rational, logical reasons why we follow Islam. And that Islam is always built up upon evidences. Okay, why do we pray like this? There's an evidence. Why do we believe this? Because there's an evidence. And that's something that I found out about Islam was really beautiful. That is, everything was based upon an evidence. There was a reference in the Quran. There was a reference from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was the action of the companions. There was action of early scholars. Everything had a reason and everything was explained. So that's one thing that's beautiful about Islam. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a narration that Imam Ibn Majah, he narrated in his Sunan, and many other scholars have collected different pathways to this hadith. And a number of the later scholars, Ibn Hajar, Sheikh al-Albani and others, they said it's a Hassan hadith, in which he said that seeking knowledge is a farida, it's a compulsory matter upon every single Muslim. So it's compulsory upon every single Muslim to seek knowledge. And this knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to, the scholars explained, it's the things that we must know. So it's the five pillars of Islam. You know, how do we pray? How do we fast the month of Ramadan? It's the basics about, okay, what do we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's those fundamental things that a Muslim needs to know in order to practice his faith correctly. These things are obligatory upon us. And knowledge has a huge virtue. One of the amazing things that shows that knowledge has a virtue is it's not an ayah in the Quran. It's not a verse in the Quran. It's not a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's simply the fact that if somebody said to you that you're an ignorant person, you wouldn't like that. Nobody would like to be called ignorant. Nobody would like to be called somebody that doesn't know. And this shows you the virtue of knowledge, that everybody likes to be praised, to be knowledgeable. And everyone likes to be amongst a person that knows things. So similarly with Islam, no one would not like to be called ignorant. Rather, the virtue of knowledge is that you know things. And in a long narration that Imam Abi Dawood, he collected in his Sunan, a number of different scholars, they also collected it. It's a narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the virtue of knowledge. And he said that whoever travels on a path seeking knowledge, whoever's on a path seeking Islamic knowledge, then Allah makes the path to paradise easy. And the Prophet said that that everything in the heavens and the earth seeks forgiveness for the seeker of knowledge, even the fish in the sea. And he mentioned that the angels, they lower their wings for the seeker of knowledge. And he mentioned that the virtue or the position of the person that has knowledge, the alim, the scholar, over the worshipper, the abid, is like the moon at night time over the rest of the constellations in the sky. The moon shines bright, and you notice the moon over the rest of the stars and the constellations. Similarly, with the scholar, it has a much bigger status than the general person that is a general worshipper. And this tells us that there's a great virtue. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that the Prophet and the messengers, they didn't leave behind dinar or dirham. They didn't leave behind this sort of wealth. Rather, what they left behind was knowledge. And whoever inherits it, whoever takes hold of it, has inherited a great good portion, and that they are the scholars. So this is the roundabout narration, but it shows you that knowledge has such a great virtue. For those that seek it. So that's about knowledge, and there's so many verses in the Quran. Allah speaks about that. We came out the wombs of our mothers knowing nothing. So the great scholars of Islam, they also knew nothing about their religion, but rather they put hard effort in and they gained this knowledge. So what I want to give was some short tips that inshallah you can try and take away with yourself for the lessons that we start next week, and for all sort of lessons, for all sort of books, for also all the time that you're watching lectures on the internet and trying to benefit. So inshallah, if it's working, I'll give 7 tips. First one is having sincerity, having ikhlas, having a good intention when you seek knowledge. Number 2, I talked about the importance of taking notes when you're learning knowledge. Number 3, something that is key, which many of us fall into, is not taking knowledge in stages. 4, avoiding sins. 5, benefiting from your time. Number 6, attending lessons and also benefiting from books. And number 7, having a high aspiration when you seek knowledge. These are 7 quick tips that I thought were good and beneficial. Now, inshallah, we'll make that bigger so everyone can see that the key thing that we must have is that when we're seeking knowledge is that we must have something called sincerity, something called ikhlas. Because the reality is that there's no virtue and there's no purpose behind any of our actions that we do, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, whether it's giving charity, or including seeking knowledge, unless we have a good intention. Allah says in the Quran, "And you are not commanded except to worship Allah alone, being sincere to Him in religion." Allah says in the Quran that you're not commanded except to worship Allah alone, being sincere to Him in the religion. The scholars took from this verse that whenever we want to worship Allah, whether it's seeking knowledge, whether it's praying, whether it's any form of worship, you have to have sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the famous narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, "Indeed, actions are based upon their intentions, and surely every person is rewarded according to his intention." That the things that we do, they're based upon our intentions, and we are rewarded according to our intention. So if our intention is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah we'll be rewarded for that. But sadly, if our intention was to show off to other people, our intention was to impress other people, our intention was for other than the sake of Allah, then that's what our intention was for. And Al-Hasan Al-Basri, who's a famous scholar, student of the companions, he said that whoever seeks knowledge in pursuit of the hereafter will acquire it, and whoever seeks knowledge in pursuit of worldly matters will only receive his share of it. So a person, you know, they're seeking knowledge for the hereafter, they're seeking knowledge for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the reward, then he's going to get that inshallah. But whoever seeks it for a worldly matter, then he's going to get his share of the world, but not necessarily his share in the hereafter. And Ibn al-Mubarak, again, another famous early scholar, student of the companions, he said, the first part of knowledge is the intention. That's where you start off. You start off with your intention. Then it's listening. You know, you go to the lesson and you benefit. You go and watch the lecture and you benefit. Then it's understanding, meaning after you've had the intention, after you've sought the knowledge, you then really need to try and understand that knowledge. After understanding, it's then memorization. And that's a key point, that something that's key in Islam is actual hifz, actual memorization. That you memorize the verses of the Quran. You memorize the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You memorize the statements of the scholars, so that when you need to bring it out and you need to quote it, you need to use it, it's straight on your memory, it's there. And when you memorize something, it shows that you truly understand it, that it's truly locked in your heart. That real knowledge is the knowledge that you can take with you wherever you are. And then acting upon it, once you've learned it, once you've understood it, once you've memorized it, then you need to start acting upon it. You need to start seeing that in your life. And then after that, you start spreading it and you start teaching it. And that statement of Ibn al-Mubarak, I love it. It's a great summary of really how you should seek knowledge. You should first have that sincere intention, then start listening, start attending the lessons, start benefiting, start understanding what you're learning, start trying to memorize it, start trying to live it in your life, and then spread it to others. And I think that's a beautiful way to spread the knowledge on, from Al-Hasan al-Basri. So sincerity is hugely important. Otherwise, everything that we do, there's going to be no reward in it. So brothers and sisters, have that sincerity, have that clean intention, inshallah, that when you're going to seek this knowledge, when you're going to come to the lesson next week, when you're going to go to any lesson or you're going to start reading any book, you're doing it sincerely with a clear intention. You're not doing it for any other reasons, but to gain the knowledge in order to improve yourself and also to remove knowledge from others. That's one of the other reasons the scholars Ibn Uthaymeen, he mentioned in his book, Kitab al-Ilm, that you can seek knowledge as well for the sake of Allah, but also to remove ignorance from yourself and also ignorance from other people. That you want good for others just as you want good for yourself. The next thing is key when you're seeking knowledge is taking notes. That whenever you're attending a lesson, whether it's a lesson in the masjid, whether it's a lesson in an institute, whether it's you're watching a lecture online, or even when you're reading books, always take notes. Take a note of the lessons, what the teacher is saying, write the notes down. When you're watching a lecture, write the notes down. When you're reading a book, maybe try and take notes from the book, highlight beneficial points, summarize the book. Every book that you go through, many students of knowledge, what they do is they try and summarize it. Because if you summarize something, it shows that you truly understand it. And that is how knowledge can be preserved. You've got your notes there that you can go back to later on. You can then summarize your notes. You can then bring notes together from different lessons that you've taken. You can then take some of those notes and write about a particular topic. However, you wrote nothing, you're going to rely upon your memory. And sadly, many of us, our memories are not that good. So it's important to take notes when you're in the lessons. So inshallah, next week in the lessons, when we go through points, take notes on the points that we mentioned. Highlight things that you found beneficial. Many of the students of knowledge and many of the scholars, they would carry a little book with them, a little notepad with them, so that whenever they heard a benefit, they would write it down. Whenever they read something beneficial in the book, they would write it down on this notepad. And then afterwards, they would go along and they would categorize these benefits that they took. And they would prepare short booklets on the benefits, or they would give reminders from the book that they had. So this is why notes are good. They can be reviewed at a later date when you're going to go back and review the knowledge from the lesson that you took previously. You can do that. You can put the notes together into, okay, this is all my notes about Qadr, the divine decree, or these are all my notes about the rulings of fasting. You can put them all together and helps you summarize the lecture of the book. Because sometimes a book can be lengthy. Sometimes a lecture might be lengthy and you can summarize it and make it simpler in order for you to understand it, in order for you to memorize it and pass it on. It's important that when you come to the lessons, take notes. This is a key one, which we see from the scholars, this is what they did, that they took knowledge in gradual stages and gradual steps. They didn't try to get knowledge all in one go. Rather, they took it step by step, bit by bit. Because if you try and take everything in one go, you know, it's going to go in one go. And we learn this methodology from the Quran itself. Allah says in the Quran, and it is a Quran which we have separated by intervals, that you might recite it to the people over a prolonged period, and we have sent it down progressively. And Allah says in the Quran, and those who disbelieve say, why was the Quran not revealed to him all at once? Thus it is that we may strengthen thereby your heart, and we have spaced it distinctly. So we learn from this verse of the Quran, and we learn from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Quran was revealed over 23 years in stages and in periods. It didn't come all down in one day. It didn't come down in 1 hour or in 1 week. Rather, it came over a period of time. So similarly, when we're seeking knowledge, it's going to have to go in stages and in time. So you're going to start with learning the foundation things that you need to learn. You're going to start with learning the Arabic language. You're going to start with learning a small portion of the Quran every day. And you're going to start with the small, simple books. So if you're going to study, for example, the books of Aqidah, books of belief, you may start with the three fundamental principles, a short, simple book. Then you, in the books of Hadith, instead of going straight into studying Sahih Bukhari, which is 7,000 narrations, Musnad Imam Ahmed, 40,000, 30,000 narrations, you may start with Imam Nawawi's 40 Hadith, which is a book which contains 42 narrations. Simple, short, beneficial narrations, you'll take that book. Then afterwards, you may do, for example, Umdatul Ahkam, which is a few hundred narrations. Similarly, with the sciences of Hadith, you may start with a book, a poem called Al-Bayquniya, which is 34 lines of poetry. Short, simple. Then after that, you'll go to another book, for example, Nukhbatul Fiqr of Ibn Hajar, which is a bit bigger. And then after that, you would go to a 1,000-line poetry book of Iraqi or Asuyuti. But the point is that you take things in stages. You start with the simple knowledge, the knowledge that you need to know. And then you build upon that and you branch out. However, you dive straight in at the beginning, taking, reading Bukhari and then taking this really complex topic and studying this really difficult science at the beginning, you're going to struggle and get confused. But over the years, if you take knowledge in a short way, you'll benefit. And there's some stories here from the scholars of the early past, the early times, which really speaks about this. Ibn Juraij, he said that he approached Attar and he pursued this issue whilst Abdullah ibn Ubaid ibn Umar was with him. Then Ibn Umar said to me, did you read the Quran? I said, no. He said, go and read it, then seek knowledge. So I left and I spent some time away until I read the Quran. Then I came to Attar while Abdullah was with him. Then he said, have you read about what Allah has made obligatory regarding the inheritance? I said, no. He replied, learn what Allah has made obligatory regarding inheritance, then seek knowledge. So I studied what Allah had made obligatory with regards to the inheritance. Then he said, now you should seek knowledge. Another story, Abu Al-Aina said, I came to Abdullah ibn Daoud. He said to me, what brought you here? I said, Hadith. I want to seek the knowledge of Hadith. Then he said to me, go and memorize the Quran. I said, I've memorized the Quran. He replied, he recited from this verse in Surah to Yunus, chapter 10, verse 47. So then Abu Al-Aina recited the Quran from that point till the end. Then he told me to go and seek the knowledge of the laws of inheritance. So I said to him, I've already learned the knowledge of the laws of inheritance. Then he said to me, go and seek the knowledge of Arabic grammar. And I said, I've already done that. And then he said, if I was to narrate hadith to anyone, I would narrate it to you. The purpose here, there's many other stories in this beneficial book, but the purpose is that the scholars of the past, what they used to do before someone would be allowed to seek the knowledge of hadith or another science, they would make sure that they've learnt the Quran. They would make sure that they know the laws of inheritance. they would make sure that they know the Arabic language, meaning that they took things in stages. Before you jumped into learning all the sciences of hadith and all the knowledge of hadith, did you know the Quran? So similarly with us, we should take things in stages. Start with learning the basics of the religion. Okay, do I know how to pray correctly? Do I know about how to make wudu correctly? Do I know about the shahada and what I believe about Allah correctly? Do I know how to fast the month of Ramadan? Do I know about the zakah? Do I know about the pilgrimage? Learn these basics of Islam and then the basics of faith. What do we believe about Allah? What do we believe about angels? Once that's solidified, then start learning the basics of how to read the Quran, how to read the Arabic alphabet. Learn these simple things and take things in stages. Don't try and learn everything in 1 week, in 1 month, in 1 year. Rather, it's a lifetime of journey of seeking knowledge. So that's a key tip. Take things in gradual stages. Another beneficial one, which the scholars always mention in all their works, is avoiding sins. Avoiding sins. That the student knowledge has to avoid sins in his life. Because the scholars mention that sins distinguish a light within you, which is diminishes your effectiveness of seeking knowledge. So Allah says in the Quran, fear Allah and Allah will teach you. That if you have fear of Allah, meaning that you're doing every single thing that Allah has commanded you to do, you know, you're praying the salah, you're doing the obligatory fasts, you're doing everything that Allah wants from you, and you're avoiding everything that He's prohibited, Allah says that He'll then teach you. And Sufyan al-Thawri, he said that, surely, Sufyan al-Thawri, a student of the Companions, an early scholar, he said that surely knowledge is sought in order to ensure that an individual fears Allah. The purpose of gaining knowledge, the purpose of having this knowledge, is that it's going to hopefully stop you from committing sins. It's going to stop you from doing the things that you shouldn't be doing. That's the whole point of learning knowledge. That's your point of learning about Allah and learning about Islam, is to increase your righteousness. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in this authentic narration that Imam at-Tirmidhi narrated, that the feet of the servant will not move on the day of judgment until he is questioned about his life and how he spent it, his knowledge and what he did with it, his wealth and how he earned it and used it, and about his body and how did he exert it. So on the day of judgment, you're going to be asked about, what did you do with your life? What did you do with this knowledge, all this knowledge, all these books that you had and all things you learned? Did you act upon it? Did you benefit from it? So avoiding sins are key for the student of knowledge. It's going to help you learn. It's going to help you practice Islam better if you avoid sins. Another key one, which you have to really implement in your life, is that benefiting from your time. Learning that life is short, time is short. There's so much knowledge and there's only a limited amount of time that you can really learn it. So you really need to look at your daily schedule, look at your daily life, and look at, when can I seek knowledge? Maybe it's an hour after work. Maybe it's hours throughout the day. Maybe it's this time, it's that time. And think about, when can I make sure my life I'm benefiting? So when I'm traveling to work, I could be listening to a lecture. I could be listening to Quran. When I'm at home with nothing to do, I can benefit and read a book. When I'm walking this place, when I'm doing this, when I'm doing the cleaning, when I'm doing maybe things I need to do for work, I can be listening and benefiting all the time. Because life is short, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that there are two blessings which many people waste. These two blessings many people have, but they don't benefit from them. That is your health, being healthy and not being ill, and having free time. Often when we have free time, what are we doing? Are we seeking knowledge? Are we doing something beneficial? Or are we wasting it? The scholars of the past, they came out of their mother's wombs knowing nothing. And many of them will live similar lifetimes to us. But what was different was that they really benefited from their time. They spent all their time trying to learn knowledge. They spent all their effort learning knowledge. And that's what really distinguishes them from us today. Is that every chance they got to benefit from knowledge, every chance that they got to learn something, they used to spend their time doing it. So that's a good one, is to look in your life, think about when can I seek knowledge, look in your life and think, when can I build an Islamic structure to learn knowledge? And the next one is attend lessons and benefit from books. So what is key is that you do need to attend actual lessons. You do need to find a form of a teacher who can teach you about Islam. Because when you have a teacher, they can guide you through the journey. They can explain things to you. They can explain concepts. Whereas if you're on your own trying to find out on YouTube, trying to read books, maybe you're going to get confused. Maybe you're going to read something you don't understand. Or maybe you're going to be struggling at where to begin. But if you attend a structured course, if you attend a lesson with a teacher, there's an opportunity to ask questions. There's an opportunity for them to explain something in a good, easy manner. So having a teacher is key. And as well, whilst you're not in the lessons, also benefit from books. A student of knowledge, somebody seeking knowledge, a Muslim, when you become Muslim, you really need to put that effort in to read books. Maybe before you never read books, maybe reading books was not part of your daily life, but it's something that you need to start doing, because there's so much knowledge in books, there's so much time you can read from the books and benefit from the books. But there's key not to have an extreme in either way. Not to be a person that only reads books and he doesn't have a teacher, he doesn't have anybody of knowledge to speak to. Many of the scholars of the past, they spoke about how a person will have many mistakes if all they do is read books. Because you may read something and misunderstand it. You may read something and not be able to get the concept. Whereas if you have a teacher, he can explain it to you. But as well, you don't only want to just have teachers, but you don't have the etiquette of reading in your life. All the scholars, they were people that used to read and benefit. So you need to have the balance that you have structured lessons that you're going to go to throughout the day. And then when you're in your own time at home, you're going to be, you know, reading a book. Okay, exploring that topic a bit more. Maybe reading an explanation of the topic that you're studying in the class. As well, watching extra lectures from other speakers online on the topic. And this is really going to increase your knowledge and help you have a complete picture and a complete understanding of the issues that you're learning. And the final one, inshallah, we'll end off on is having high aspirations, having high goals, aim high. Don't think, oh, I can't do that well. I'm only a new Muslim. I'm only a convert, or you know, I'm in UK. I'm in America. I'm not in the Middle East, so I'm not going to be able to seek knowledge. No, have high aspirations. Have that. Okay, I want to learn this. I want to memorize this book. I want to learn all about this topic. I want to be the leader in this subject. Because having these high goals is going to push you and energize you to achieve it. And even if you don't achieve those goals, you're going to achieve a lot. So for example, Imam Bukhari had that high goal, like, okay, I want to compile a book of hadith, in which every hadith is authentic in the book. That was his goal, and that's what he worked towards. Even if, let's say, for example, he never reached it, he still did an amazing work. Or a person who said, okay, I want to explain this book, and they put all that effort into explaining it. The point is, have high goals and put the effort in. The scholars of the past, that's what they did. They had these goals to memorize so many hadith. They had these goals to understand a topic really, really in depth. You know, one of the recent scholars that passed away, he had the goal of he wanted to try and compile all the authentic hadith in one book to get every single authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thousands and thousands of narration, and get them into one book. So that, you know, instead of us having to go to all these different books, we have one book we can go towards. That was his goal. That was his aspiration. That's what he worked towards. And even if he didn't reach that target, you know, he's made an amazing work that contains the majority, if not all, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So have some high aspirations when you're in the lessons, when you want to learn. Okay, I want to learn the basics of the religion. I want to learn about all about the prayer. I want to learn about why do we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to learn about the Quran and its transmission and its history and why it's a revelation. Have these high goals. That's going to drive you then to put the effort in to seek the knowledge. So inshallah, these are 7 goals, but they all start with having that sincerity when seeking knowledge. Having sincerity when seeking knowledge. So inshallah, there are many, many other goals, how you adorn yourself, how the knowledge affects your character and your mannerisms, how the knowledge should allow make you act upon it. But these are some tips that I thought are beneficial to take away. The keys one would be being sincere, avoiding sins in your life, try make the knowledge change your life. And I think a key one, good one, is taking notes. You know, there's so many lessons that I've attended now where I can look at the notes and it'll bring back, okay, we studied this, we did this. Okay, yeah, he made a good point there that I didn't think of. He explained, for example, the topic of Qadr, the divine decree and free will, or he explained it really well. Or he explained the concept of the Quran being a miracle. He explained it really well. And you've got the notes there that you can go back to and you can read and then you can teach others and others can benefit. So inshallah, you benefited from today. Please do share this out. Please do leave any comments. And please let people know about the work that FastFM are doing online. Inshallah, we'll be back with our course next week. 13 weeks, step by step, talking all about setting the foundations of the course, introductory matters. So inshallah, we'll see you next week. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. This has been Richard Coupland on From Darkness to Light. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.